chapter 10. And today we're in the verses 1 through 11. So John 10, verses 1 through 11. And God's word says this. Jesus speaking. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. We certainly could use your Holy Spirit's help, and we ask for that again. As we interact with your text, we thank you that you will open our eyes, that you'll bring encouragement, conviction, everything we need as we look at your word. So we lean on you. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paula goes away and leaves Lily and me at home, and what does she come back to? A tortoise. A tortoise. We have a tortoise. We're the proud owners of a little tortoise walking around so slowly in its case. Where Lily works and volunteers at a women's shelter, one of the residents had it, and it wasn't being treated very well, wasn't being necessarily abused, but it wasn't being fed. It had a little tiny place, and that poor thing, I guess, they live 100 years, somebody told me, and there it was in its little case. So now it's got a heat lamp, it's got a place to sun itself, it's got fresh veggies that get traded all the time, it gets a soaking every day, not by me or by Paula, but we go down in the morning, I'm like, did that thing move? And yes, it moved, 2 inches, 3 inches. This morning it was sitting in its food dish and the food was scattered, so I guess it made its way there. But I understand the old Aesop's fable about the tortoise and the hare. And I said, I want to buy a hare and have a race and see what happens. You know how tortoises move. You know how rabbits move. If you're mowing too close to a bush where one's been hiding out and all of a sudden it makes its break and it darts all over the place and scurries around. Interesting to see, and I'm very, very glad. I would say that some of us may say, I've got people at work that are tortoises and I've got people at work that are hares. Or you may say, I've got people that would say that about me. When Jesus chose, and when the Bible gives us this extended metaphor of an animal, I'm glad he didn't choose a tortoise to say, that's you, Christian. Or a hare, that's you, Christian. Chose this wonderful, long running throughout the scriptures, extended metaphor of sheep and a shepherd. This wasn't original with Jesus. When Jesus was saying, I and the Father are one, and he adopted and told people that he was God in the flesh, there were a lot of God associations that the people would have recognized in his teaching. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Old Testament, solid, standard, God leading his people analogy. You get to Ezekiel 34 and there's an indictment of the under-shepherds who are not taking proper care of the sheep. And God says, I will be their shepherd. And here we find Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, if somebody asks you, pop quiz, what are the offices of Christ? Well, you would say prophet, priest, and king. You wouldn't say shepherd. But shepherd is a way that God describes himself. There are other ways that God described himself. He talks about mothers and brothers. He talks about his relationship with us as brothers. I was playing ping pong with Pastor Ye a couple Tuesdays ago. And he's kind to me. I know he is. He played it as a little child. They'd get out of elementary school and run around and stand around the ping pong table there in China and loved it. But he left one laying way up there, and I wanted to slam that thing so badly. But we just play for fun. And I said, boy, if you had been my brother, I would have slammed that thing, thinking of my own childhood. You know what he said? Who are my mother and my brothers? I'm like, okay, now you asked for it, but treat me a little kindly. Jesus talked about who are my mother and my brothers. He talked about us in many ways, but he came back to this one on this occasion for a reason where he said, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And we want to look at that for the next 3 weeks. This whole John 10 describes that. We named our church way back when we planted it. We called it Christ the Shepherd based on this passage even. And we need to see Christ and his shepherd. There are so many people, things, current trends, rock stars, movie stars, sports stars, politicians, people that we could follow as our shepherd. TikTok trends. All of these things that we can look at and we can follow the crowd and be like everything else. We have shepherds that we follow and are want to follow. And Jesus came along and said, no, follow me. I am the good shepherd. So it's part one of a three-part series these Sunday mornings about Christ as the shepherd. But first of all, we want to see Christ and his flock. 4 points this morning. First one is this. Underlying all of it is the personal relationship with the shepherd. We have to understand the context of John chapter 10. Because somebody came along and divided John 1, John 2, John 3, and they might have done a really good job of dividing thoughts and helping us, and that way we don't have these big scrolls. We have to try and dig and find it. So it's nice to have chapters and verses. But John 10 follows chapter 9, and you've got to look at it in its context. We've had a couple of weeks of not looking at this section of John as we've been in Easter. But if you remember back, John chapter 9 is where Jesus healed the blind man. The blind man was given his sight. The blind man testified then ultimately to Jesus. And he was kicked out of the synagogue. And Jesus came back and found him and restored him spiritually in a relational way. And all of this teaching is piggybacking on that. So in the context, Jesus is there. Blind man is there. Pharisees are there. Pharisees who have been representing Jesus and have kicked the blind man out. And Jesus is beginning to talk about himself as the shepherd. He said, I'm the door. The Pharisees had shown that man the door. They'd said, get out of our society. Remember, even the parents had been loath to back up their son and endorse him because they were so afraid of societal and cultural pressure. And their shepherd were these bad shepherds who even had that pressure on them to not want them to be kicked out of the synagogue. And Jesus said, no, I'm the one. Look at verses 3 and 4. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, we think about farming. I grew up in Iowa. It was cattle and hogs mostly, and not sheep that I recall. But we have an idea of sheep farming. And we think of mass farming and mass production and trying to get as much out of the animals as we can. It's just like we do with the fields, get as much out of it as we can to feed the people as cheaply as possible. That's not what was going on in these Middle Eastern farming communities. They understood shepherds a whole lot different. Commentator from our West wrote this: "Even among ourselves, a shepherd worthy of the name is the most patient of men. And yet what rises up before our minds is a huddled mass of scurrying and uneasy creatures, chivied by wheeling dogs with amazing craft and skill indeed, yet the whole scene suggesting compulsion and force. But the relationship between an Eastern shepherd and his flock is much more intimate and affectionate and personal. And that, of course, was what was in the mind of Christ when he used the figure." I'll be honest, some of us don't like to be referred to as sheep. I don't want to be a sheeple. Listen, sheeple, fight the government or whatever. And I don't want to be called a sheeple. I looked at a great hymn in our hymn book, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." It's a great one. But I thought, some of us might balk at that. And I looked at the videos, and all it is like little children's Christian school choir singing it. The words are great. And I hate to tell you this, but you are Jesus' little lamb if you're a Christian. And you are a sheep, but you're not a blind sheep. A few years ago, somebody wrote a book, and I bought the book just for the title, and I think I never read the book. It might be back there on our free book giveaway, but I liked it because it helped me as a man to roaring lambs. I'm not just a lamb. I'm a roaring lamb. I'm a violent. I'm a fighter lamb. Well, no. You are a sheep in God's pasture. God said that. God used that analogy all the way through, and Jesus used it of himself. And you better be glad and try to understand what it means to be a sheep following Christ, your shepherd. So the context of this teaching is the man who was without any place to worship. He was outside of his culture. Jesus comes back to get him, and he worships Jesus, and Jesus says the relationship is personal. How do you have a relationship with the shepherd? Well, he calls you. Respond to his call. Staying with the flock. I know of no incidents where there was a shepherd, where one shepherd was assigned to one sheep, and he took that one sheep out there into the field. There is a shepherd, and you stay with the flock. Now, when you stray from the flock, what does the shepherd do? Because he knows you, and he knows his flock, and he cares. That shepherd comes and gets you. One writer said, "How often does this happen in the life of a Christian?" He says, "Well, it happens with me 20 times a day, where we fall short. Jesus comes and gets us. Jesus brings us back." But if you're a Christian and you're in God's flock and Christ is your shepherd, there's a personal relationship. And we look and that happens in context of God's people, a flock. It says, "My people recognize my voice." How do we recognize Jesus' voice? Somebody comes up and says, "I've got God in a little box, and here's what God tells me that you have to do." That's not God's voice. Where do we find it? Where do we know what Jesus' voice is, how he's leading us? And I would say number one is our scriptures. We speak to God in prayer. He speaks to us through his word. We read his scriptures. Scriptural literacy begins with scriptural love. And we see God's voice and we hear God's voice. If anybody says, God led me to do this and it's not quite in line with the Bible, but I needed to do it, I would say that's, you're not hearing Jesus' voice in that. It's never right to do wrong, to do right. And Jesus said, I have a voice. And as we stay in his word, as we put things together, we're hearing our shepherd's voice. Jeremiah 15, verses 15 and 16. The prophet says, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away, and know that for your sake I bear reproach. And then he says this, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Here's a news flash for us if we're hurting and despairing and wondering about our own relationship with God. You can pray and God will hear you. You can ask him for peace and you can follow that shepherd. But it's a personal relationship. Jesus went on to talk about three things that he does as a shepherd in relationship with his sheep. The first thing is the shepherd protects his sheep. Look at the first part of John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he goes on to say at the last of that verse, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There are people. They want your money. They want your vote. They want your affection. They want you to focus on them. They want to take from you. Our enemy, the devil, would love to steal your family from you, would love to steal your hope and your security and your joy. There are forces out there that make people, they thrive on making people not like each other, hate each other, divide into groups, this group versus that group. Jesus said, those are thieves that are coming in and they want to steal and kill and destroy. It happens even within churches. And Jesus says, no, I'm coming to protect you from that. I came to give you life, give it to the full. What did you think Jesus meant when he wrote in, when he said in verse 10:8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Some people said, well, who came before Jesus? That would be Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist. Well, he's not referring to them. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to uphold it. I came to fulfill it. So who's he talking about? Well, in the immediate context, which helps us out, he's talking about those religious cultural leaders that were there in the synagogue, that were there to be the controllers, to be the joy stealers, to be the little ones with their magic wands that either made you good or kicked you out. And he's saying, listen, I came to call you out from all of that. It's not the one who gave the law, Moses, who was a type of Christ. It's not John the Baptist, who was foretold as going before Christ, who pointed to Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No, he's talking about those who misapplied the law, who used it as a club to beat the people down. False prophets. These Pharisees who were standing there who denied the deity of Jesus. And listen, it goes on even in churches today. Does this passage I'm about to read apply to today? Think about this. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown. Yes, it is good to hear from God's word that there is hope, that God is a giving, loving God. But if the part that's left out is you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you're not necessarily a sheep yet until you repent and put your faith in Jesus, then those people are doing a very, very bad disservice. And Jesus said, I came to protect my sheep from that. He also said, I came to provide for my sheep. Think about the provision that God gives us, that Jesus gave us. And first of all, it's found in verse 11, where Jesus went on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The ultimate provision that all of us needs. What if it was all good, no problems, everything coasting along, and then it's judgment day, and we hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Jesus said, I'm going to start with the most important thing. I'm going to be the provision. I'm going to be the shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. So we had our Old Testament reading this morning about David when he went out to face Goliath, and he said, when I was a shepherd, God gave me the grace to fight off the bear, to fight off the lion. God gave me as a shepherd the courage, the responsibility, the ability to put my own life on the line. In this case, Jesus not just risked his life, he gave his life for his sheep. And Jesus said, it starts with that. He has provided that for you, his people. Because of that, we can have that life to the full, or life abundantly, that's talked about in verse 10. In our early days, when you plant a church, they think you need to have a, the church planter people tell you this, you got to have like a church slogan. You got to have a church verse, a church, like the people that say you have to have a life verse. Well, life verses are good, but not to the extent the whole Bible is your life verse, and various things apply at times. But our church verse, because we were doing what they told us, was discover a full life. It was based on John 10:10. And we put discover a full life. We had a family here that has since been transferred to Wisconsin, and Mike was the dad's name, and Mike says, I don't know if we put this on our door. People are so busy. Their lives are so full. They want to come in here and discover a full life. We might discourage them. What did Jesus mean when he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly? He meant that once you have the salvation that is yours, the price paid, the destination of heaven, you're a sheep following your shepherd, you have everything else. You have an understanding, a way to process grief, a desire to please your Lord, a way to think through life situations, a way to even read your newspaper or think about your kids. You have that. And he came to provide. This is not the only place where Jesus talked about or thought in terms of being a shepherd. Before he fed the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, Mark 6:34, Jesus is described this way. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And he looked at sheep that needed food, that needed teaching. They needed a lot of things. Just like that daughter of mine looked at that little turtle. Said, why is it just sitting here with its eyes closed? Look at its cage. Goes online. Finds out. Talks to other people who own these Russian turtles. Buys the right kind of food. Buys the right kind of of heat lamp, switches things around a little bit to provide for. That's a picture of Christ looking at you and all of your needs and the total needs. And Jesus saw these people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He fed them with his teaching, pointing to himself as their hope of salvation. But he also saw them hungry and fed them. In our worship folder, I've been reading this book, and I referred to it, referenced it a little bit. It's in your worship folder. There's a quote there. That's not the one I'm going to use, but this same writer is the owner of a little small farm over in England. And he talks about shepherding and what it's like with his sheep and the personal relationship he has with his sheep. And he's talking about being out with his daughters on the farm, and they're bringing the sheep in from one of the fields. He says, "The sheep in front of us have reached a beck. They bunch up, hesitating, until one jumps at the narrowest point and then the rest follow. Soon we turn into our gateway and down to the pens where the sheep are gathered in. The girls grab the dirty ones, and we hold them firm as I clean the filth from their back ends with a pair of hand shears. One lamb has some maggots on a damp patch of wool. We flick them off and apply Battle's maggot oil." So here's Battle's maggot oil. That's good for maggots, I guess. That's what I read here. But he says, we apply the Battle's maggot oil. The lamb shivers and looks relieved. Half an hour later, we are done. We chase the flock through the pasture above the pens and into a fresh field. That's your shepherd. And how often does he have to clean the filth from your back end? Lovingly, getting the shears out, taking care of you individually and your messes and your problems and your sins and the consequences of them and your relationships. And how often does God say, here's my sheep who I love, and he gathers you in and takes care of you? He does it as often as you need it. Why? He's your shepherd. You are his sheep, and he loves you. Those sheep could talk, what would they say? Can you imagine a sheep go, this is kind of embarrassing, and I'd rather just do it myself. You can't do it yourself. You can't do for yourself in your life what Jesus can and will and wants and does do for you. You've got a shepherd who loves you, who knows you, and who cares for you. And what do you say then to your good shepherd? You say thank you. And when he calls you again, you follow him and you stay with that shepherd. That shepherd knows you, knows what you need, knows what's the best for you, and that shepherd takes care of you all the way to heaven. Finally, I'd like us to see the perspective of the sheep. And the whole picture here is security and a sense of calmness. This shepherding that Jesus started you on when he called you and you heard his voice, when you said, I'm a Christian now, I've repented, I'm following him. It's lifelong. Lifelong. It's all the way to heaven and beyond. Is Christ still the shepherd in heaven? Does the metaphor still apply? That's a good question to think about. We know he is prophet, priest, and king in heaven. But boy, he's our shepherd. And why wouldn't this metaphor that Jesus gave us even apply there? Because we're not gods there. What do we say? I am saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. And in heaven, it's Jesus that saved you. It's Jesus that brought you. It's Jesus that led you. But I want to emphasize for us this morning as we approach the Lord's table what happens on this side of heaven. And remind you and all of us that you can be secure in the relationship with Jesus of who you are, part of his flock. He doesn't come into his flock. It doesn't say he did this. It doesn't say shepherds did this. Okay, you. Now, you got to stay behind. I'm mad at you. You. No, he gets his flock. He calls and the flock rises because they belong to him and they follow him. And you can be secure in your position as one belonging to God. You don't have to fear being sold. No, he's not going to sell you. He bought you with his blood. You are redeemed by his blood, and you don't have to fear getting booted out of the flock. You follow as a lamb, you follow as a sheep, trusting, depending, and listening all the way to heaven. And here's where it gets interesting. He can be such a great shepherd. He is the great shepherd of the sheep because he's also a lamb. What did John say about him? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I'm looking at us, I'm thinking about us, I'm wondering what God has in store for us. We got topsy-turvy times, we got elections coming, and now we've got earthquakes, and we got all this stuff. And it's like, what do we do? Well, we just listen for Jesus' voice, we read his word, we pray, we let him clean us up, we let him take care of us, and we can be the most secure people of all people that ever lived. In fact, we can be the only really secure people because we have Christ as our shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. We'll come back and look some more in the next couple of weeks about Jesus as the shepherd in relationship to other false shepherds and things. So let's keep that in mind as we live our lives this week as Christians, as followers of Christ. And let's even keep it in mind as we go to the table now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your shepherding of us. Thank you for doing what we could not do, which is make us right with God the Father because of what you did, Jesus. Thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you that we get to be Christians. We thank you that we have a voice that we can hear, that we follow. And we pray for those. And we pray, Lord, that you would add the people we know and love and people we don't even know and love and people we know and don't care for so much sometimes in our flesh. We pray that they would be added to your flock as well. And we thank you. We take solace in verses and sayings that you gave us about other sheep you have that aren't in this fold. And we pray for your salvation for your people. But we thank you for us that we have Jesus Christ as our shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen.